Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning out there in Blog Talk Radio land, and those in tuning in from iTunes and Google Play and Rainbow Soul, and there's so many different ways that people dial into the show, and they coming in through the chat room, different ways that people connect to Off the Shelf. As I was telling our guests, who I'm excited to introduce to you later today, we get a lot of not only our live listens, but a lot of archive listens, and our listener numbers are going up. We've been doing Off the Shelf. It's just such a blessing, but more than 13 years, and we've had some phenomenal guests on. I recently learned one of our guests, she works with somebody who has an international presence, and she's really taken off. And then she's been on Off the Shelf twice. S. Renee is her name. And then you people you've seen on CNN who've been on Off the Shelf Radio and other large platforms that people have been on, we've been blessed to have them here. And we've had several New York Times best-selling authors on our show over these 13-plus years. And we're excited to add today's guests to those lists of artists who've been on, whether they're very seasoned or they're in middle of their career or they're an emerging creative, not only writers, but we've had publishers and editors on and people in radio and television and movie producers. So we're excited to add her to the list, and we encourage you to just put it on your schedule at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time or New York City time that you're going to catch Off the Shelf. You can catch it on your cell phone, your smartphone, your laptop, your computer. There's so many ways to listen to Off the Shelf. You can just dial in right from your phone if you want to, or connect to the chat room. But you're missing out on a lot if you don't catch Off the Shelf. And I'm not just saying that because I'm the host. I've learned so much from every guest we've had on that just some things that have really, really blessed my life that our guests have. So there's still time for you to tell your friends and your book lovers everywhere and your colleagues and your neighbors, whether they're looking for something for creative or inspirational or motivational, definitely entertaining and enlightening. Tell them to catch Off the Shelf, and they can catch the show right now and not miss any of our special guests. If they tune in now, the dial-in number is 347-994-3490. Again, that's 347-994-3490. They can click on the link that I've sent it out, and I'm sure our guest has. Just log into Blog Talk Radio, look up Denise Turney Off the Shelf. It should come up at the very top, and you can either join clicking in that way or through the chat room. And again, I want to give the listener dial-in number 347-994-3490. And then next I want to give you a thought just to chew on throughout the week. And this is from Nikki Giovanni. And she said, I really don't think life is about the I could have beens. Life is only about the I tried to do. I don't mind the failure, but I can imagine that I forgive myself if I didn't try. And again, that's from Nikki Giovanni. Just something to think about this week. And you are, if you just tuned in, you are listening to the Winning Book Radio Show, Off the Shelf. Welcome, welcome, welcome to our Saturday, April 21st show. This year is getting by, you guys. I know early in the week was the tax deadline, so we made it through that, and then the next holiday in the U.S. is Memorial Day. But we're coming up close, believe it or not. We'll be looking at the middle of the year before we know it. So think about that quote from Nikki Giovanni, and if there's something you really want to do, I encourage you to get started on it. And this is what our guest today did. Before we introduce our special guest, I want to ask you, and I ask this every week, how good of a mystery sleuth are you? I love Columbo, okay? Every Saturday, Sunday night here in Atlanta, I watch Columbo. I love that show. Even though they show you some of what happens like a Arthur will do, they leave some hidden gems. You have to watch the whole thing to put it all together. And that's what a great writer does. If you love mystery and you also value relationships, think about, if you think about your life, the things that you say, oh, I like this, or I feel happy, or I don't feel happy, or involved, or appreciated, it has to do with relationships. Not only the concept you have of yourself, but how other people concept you, and they treat you based on the concept they hold of you. If you value those things, relationships between a father and a son, there's a complicated father-son relationship in the book, and these four friends and a soulmate, Brenda and Raymond, if you value that, and a mystery, I think you will love Love Pour Over Me. And you can get it in ebook or in print copy. It's at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Walmart, ebookit.com. If you don't see it on the shelf, just go up to the clerk and ask them, say, I'd like to get a copy of Love Pour Over Me by Denise Turney. The only way you're really going to enjoy this story is to go out and get a copy and read it. And then please let me know how you enjoy Love Pour Over Me. And now what I'm excited about, she has been so supportive on my YouTube channel. She is probably on there making more comments than anybody else, and I really appreciate her. And when she reached out for Off the Shelf, I was so excited and just excited about today's interview. Again, I researched for the shows, but I learned so much about each guest as the show unfolds. And who is this phenomenal woman we're presenting to you today? Well, our special off-the-shelf guest this morning is Candace Waller. Candace is a New Jersey native. She has a master's degree in digital publishing from New York University. She has written for Black Enterprise Magazine. Go, Candace. Candace has also published many newspaper articles. Books that she has authored include What Goes Around Comes Around, which we're going to discuss during this morning's feature interview. I really encourage you to visit Miss Candace Waller. You know what? I was doing that for our listeners. I was doing that mind memory thing, and I was going Candace Walker for the longest, and I said, no. Candace Waller. So I'm going to spell her name. Her last name is, her first name is C-A-N-D-A-C-E. Last name is W-A-L-L-E-R, not Walker, Waller, W-A-L-L-E-R. You can visit her. She's a book author, journalist, and blogger. You can visit her online at CandaceWaller.com, CandaceWaller.com. Please don't do what I did and go Walker. It's CandaceWaller.com. Welcome to Off the Shelf, Ms. Candace.
Thank you, Denise. I'm so happy and excited to be here. I love your writing tips, your publishing tips. You've been really an inspiration, and I thank you so much for, you know, putting yourself out there with your regular videos. I really enjoy them.
It's an honor to have you on here. Now, when I was actually finalizing for your feature interview, I said, her last name is Walker. That's that memory thing. And so people, how many people, I wonder, look for you and then they're looking for Walker? Is again, W-A-L-L-E-R. It's not a last name I've heard a lot, but Candace Waller.
No, it's not.
Waller.
You're not the first person that's do Walker, though. Lots of people do that. I don't know why.
Oh, my goodness. Before we go into the day's questions, we're talking about your books and your writing and your working with Black Enterprise, et cetera. You've done so much. Before we launch into that, I just wanted to let you know the first two questions I ask every single off-the-shelf guest so our listeners can get a little backstory on our guests before we launch into the questions. So before we go into the specifics of your books and your writing, Candace, can you tell us where you grew up and what life was like for you growing up?
I grew up in New Jersey. I grew up in a small town in New Jersey. So I grew up in a very suburban area. And, you know, I grew up with my parents. My father is from the South. So I always had that Southern kind of influence, and I used to go there every summer to visit when I was a kid. So I have that influence. You know, I grew up in the hip-hop era, you know, Run DMC and all that kind of stuff. So that was kind of the music and the styling back then. So I kind of grew up without having internet and now having internet. So I kind of saddled both worlds. It's very interesting when you have that, you know, when I worked in libraries, we had actually card catalog, and now everything's on computer. So I've kind of seen things kind of grow. And I have appreciation because I can appreciate both sides.
Wow.
So that's a little
bit
about
me. You said I didn't know you worked in a library. So you worked in a library. How old were you when you worked in a library?
Yeah, I worked in three libraries, worked in a couple books. I loved books from the very beginning. My mother was always reading to us and she took us to get our library card. It was such a big deal. And I think parents, really, if you want to encourage your children to be readers, you have to be reading yourself and also bringing them to the library. Because then they get to pick books and then, you know, maybe buy them a special book instead of buying them so much. I mean, you can buy them presents too, but you should include books because we need to really encourage reading. You get so much. Your mind is broadened so much when you read. It really helps.
Yes, yes.
The development.
Yes. That wasn't a topic. Again, I say every show I learn something different. What would you say to writers, and this wasn't a question I had planned to ask, but writers who are looking to get their books in libraries? It's changed, you said. Everything was on paper years ago, and now a lot of things are computerized. I just was having lunch with some friends, and things that an employee used to do at a large firm, they said, now there's an app that does that. They don't need a person to do it anymore. How would somebody try to be more successful? What could the author do to get their books in libraries today?
Well, you know, you have to have the ISBN number because that's what they like. You know, I think if you've written a book, I know that, you know, sometimes I suggest people doing a reading or doing an event at their home library and try to get your book in the home library. You want to try to build up that audience. People overlook libraries a lot, but libraries are great because people who come there are already interested in reading. And if you put on an event, you know, they help you promote, and that really helps kind of pave the way of getting in there. Is because a lot of times with self-published authors, they won't put your book in a library. But if you are a local author,
okay.
If you're local and you do an event, then, you know, there's a good chance they might put your book there because you have that local. Because eventually what a lot of people do, you know, you may start off self-published, but if you get enough traction, because I work for a couple publishing houses as well, as I was a publicist, I worked for Time Warner, you know, I worked for Pearson, I worked for Workman. So if you get enough traction on your books, enough numbers, you know, you might get the attention of a publishing house. And then they'll take your backlist and, you know, put it under their brand, and then you're going to get in libraries. So, you know, you really have to really kind of be willing to kind of push your book and not be afraid to talk about it.
Yeah, and then go, like you said, consider going local. That's even at the bookstores. I know Tracy Price Thompson, when she came out with, I want to say it was Black Coffee. I'm not sure the title of the book. That's what she did. She decided to focus predominantly on the Northeast, and then her book took off. It just took off. She didn't try to do the whole nation. Just focus on the local.
You do your thing first, because you're going to have to, as a self-published author, you have to pay for it. So if you're willing to, you say, look, I'm going to go in a radius of where I live, or if you have a connect, you know, just do local events and start building up your name and your brand, your online, and getting sales and selling your book local, and then branch out. Because people try to do too much. You eat your food one bite at a time. You don't put the whole thing in your face. It's one bite at a time. You attack it little by little, and then that's how you get your book to kind of grow and get in more places. So that's what I would suggest.
What did you dream of becoming when you were a child?
I always loved to write. I used to journal so much when I was a kid. I was always writing and, you know, journaling. So I didn't know I was going to be an author. I just knew I wanted to do something with writing. And so that was always what I wanted to do. And also I like to dance, so I do both now. Actually, I teach dance. You know, I have a not-for-profit dance group where I teach, you know, youth dance. And then I like to write, and those are the kind of things I liked growing up. So I was always writing.
Wow, you always wanted to be a writer. That's a rarity here on Off the Shelf. A lot of people, I wanted to be an actress. I wanted to be a nurse. I wanted to be an engineer, to be an attorney. So you always knew you wanted to be a writer. What do you think, who or what would you say inspired you to pursue writing and birthed your love for books?
Well, like I said, my mother was definitely someone who really helped me with the writing of loving books, and I always used to journal. So I would sit there and I'd have things, and I like to write because, you know, I was always kind of a little bit of a shy person, so writing was an outlet for me. So I would write different things down that happened in my life as opposed to talking about them. So that's kind of where that started. It was journaling. I didn't write stories. I wrote about myself. That's how it started. So I didn't write, like, you know, some people make up stories and stuff. I just wrote about my life. Like, if I liked a boy, I wrote about what I felt about that. I wrote about the death of my grandmother when I was 10 years old. You know, I just wrote things that happened to me in my life.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. How has majoring, you're talking about how libraries have changed over the years, how has majoring in digital publishing strengthened or sharpened your writing? Your writing and your ability to market and get your books out to other people.
Well, I went to NYU, and when I went to NYU, I graduated in 2008. And when I was in my class, nobody wanted to do digital. Oh, no, because digital had kind of come up and it kind of crashed. And people said, oh, it's not going to really come back. But I said, no, people, haven't found out how we're going to use digital. It's going to come back. So it really helped my writing because the way you write online is so different than how you write for something printed. Like the way people look at stuff online, it's just a different technique, and you really have to perfect that if you're going to reach your readers in a digital sense, because how do we reach them? We have the newsletter. You have a newsletter, and I signed up for it. So, and other people, you have a blog, and those are low-cost ways of reaching people. You have a Facebook page, and that's all the online writing. So you don't write the same way online as you do in a printed form. The way you lay it out is different. How you use images is different online than when you do printed. And that has to, you have to
okay.
be able to do that in this era.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's changing even faster than we can think. I mean, in another 5 years, where we are now, what they say, if you don't stay out in front of the change, it'll probably smoke you over. All the stuff that was going on when I was in my 20s is almost like obsolete now. And it's hard to believe just in that quick period of time things can change that much. So would you recommend, so let's say somebody is not a self-published author, would you recommend that writers as a whole learn more about digital publishing, especially, again, considering the changes in the book industry and in the technological changes that are impacting all of us?
I think people, and I've always been a lifelong learner, so I believe that you definitely should try digital marketing, social media, any of the digital enterprises that you should, as a writer, make yourself comfortable with, and you should always be perfecting your writing. I always took writing court classes. I didn't understand people who said they wrote and they didn't try to take classes. Like, writing to me is like playing a sport. You constantly do it to get better at it. And I always took classes in marketing. I took classes in writing. Actually, I'm going to take another class at Rutgers. They have a digital marketing program, and I'm going to take that this summer just to even get more, like you said, because it changes so much, and you want to brush up on your skills. So that's what I've been doing. You always have to do it.
What was it like, Candace? Thank you so much for what you shared. Now to get more into the writing part of it, we talked about digital publishing, and that's something that can help any author listening. Some writers still do the writing by pen, and that's fine, but like I said, things are changing so fast that another 10 years, who knows what will be going on. So to keep learning, keep up with digital publishing. So thank you for what you share. But now I want to talk more specifically about Candace Waller's writing. So what was it like writing for Black Enterprise? What was that experience like? I mean, that's a very, very respected, influential periodical.
Yeah, I actually got the opportunity from Alfred Edmund. He was such a great – he's a high-level editor there, and he went to Rutgers. I went to Rutgers, and he would come back to the school and, like, you know, mentor students. And I wrote to him, and I was like, you know, I'd like to, you know, write for the publication, and he helped me get on there. And what happened was when I was working for – I was supposed to do, like, an intern and only write, like, a little bit. And then something happened with the editor. I don't know what happened with that situation. So I ended up doing a lot more writing for it, and then I started doing more and more freelancing for them. So it was very exciting. I loved working. I've never worked in a magazine before where everybody is Black. You know what I mean? It's not a common thing in publishing.
Mm-hmm.
And so from the top to the bottom, most of the people you work with are African-American, and it was a very unique and wonderful experience to work in that type of environment, and they were very supportive. And I would just be pitching stuff, and I wrote a lot of stuff, and I did, like, their doctor's issue, help with that. And it was, you know, it was really pretty exciting to work for them, and, you know, they're very professional. I learned a lot from being there, and Mr. Edmond, he was just great to really help me out like that. I've always been grateful for him for that opportunity.
Wow, that's a good talk about something to put on your resume. So you actually said you freelance eventually, mm-hmm. but you worked on site for a while at the mm-hmm. actual location where they pulled the magazine together?
Yes. So what happened was I, you know, wrote to him because I, you know, he went to Rutgers and I actually interviewed him for the local Rutgers paper. So funny because he worked there. So he let us come over there and I went in there and I said, oh, I'm looking for something. So I was supposed to be there for a little while, but, you know, they kept me there for, you know, I was there for maybe a month or so. And I was in the office helping them put this doctor's issue together. And that was really exciting to see how it actually came about. And then, like I said, something happened. And the person who was supposed to do some of the writing couldn't or whatever, and I ended up stepping in and doing that because I had been working with them on the issue, so I knew a lot already. So you see how you always have to be ready. That's why I tell people you never know when an opportunity is going to come.
Yes.
Right? And I was there, and I dressed professionally. When I went in there, I took them very seriously because, you know, they like you to dress. I had on my business suits every day, my hair done, the right shoes on, came in on time, ready to work. And they were like, who is this girl? Okay. And the one of the ladies told me, they said, they were watching you. They said, you know, she worked out. She looked the part. She came and she tried hard. Of course, I wasn't perfect in everything. But, I mean, I tried, and I, you know, did whatever they asked me to, and so that's how that worked out. And then I was supposed to just help, like more administrative, help her get this doctor issue together. But then I ended up helping to write a couple articles for it. And that was not something that was initially supposed to happen. So that's why I tell people, always be ready. When that opportunity comes, you got to be ready to take it.
Yes. And then, like you said, you reached out. You both went to the same school, so you reached out. That's another thing. Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you, what advice would you give to somebody who wanted to start writing for a publication like Black Enterprise or Time or another major periodical? You look for those connections, just like how business people look how they're going to make a sale. Where are the connections? Did the CEO of this company we'd like to do business with, did he go to the same college as somebody, one of our employees, let's see if we can get a hookup? Other than other advice would you
What if you don't join an organization? Like, you know, there's the National Association of Black Journalists. They have events. There's other publishing events. There's events for publicists. I recommend people joining organizations, and they have chapters all over. So I would join an event, a club like that, and then you get to meet people. Because a lot of times there are speakers at these events or, you know, something like that, and then that's how you make a connection if you don't have it already. Because people, like, if they see you, they may help you more. You may send something in, and then they're like, they can easily say no. But if you come face-to-face and you're professional and you have good things to offer, you never know where that can lead. So I recommend joining organizations like that.
Okay. Thanks for that advice. Now, life is all about relationships.
Yes.
So I wanted to ask you, we kind of touched on leading into my next question. Were you able to network when you were at Black Enterprise to even expand your networking? That's something else to take advantage of wherever you work, attending employee events where you go, asking maybe if there's something that the company does as a networking event. Hey, can I go? I can help y'all set up. And then you can get there and meet some people. But were you able to network by attending events that one or more of the reps from Black Enterprise went to, and you could build relationships there that either now or in the future can help you advance not only your book writing but also your book sales? Did you get those opportunities?
You know, I'm still connected with Mr. Edmond and at Black Enterprise. And then what happened is one of the other editors there, you know, I was working with her, and she left them and went to another publication, and then I wrote for her. So, like, what happens is with editors, they tend to move around a lot. So if they like you and, you know, you build a good rapport, you can write for them at other places. So definitely, I definitely try to network. You have to do it, because one of the things people don't realize is they think it's just writing. It's just you have to be able to network. You have to be able to present yourself. I took a Toastmaster course, and I got my first level Toastmaster certificate as a public speaker, and that was really important because it taught me how to network, how to speak well, how to present myself, because, you know, people look at you and they make a quick decision if they're going to work with you or not. And that was real important, and it still is important.
Yeah. Yes, yes. And the way you, yeah, the way people perceive you, the concept that people create about you, whether it's really you or not. When did you start writing What Goes Around Comes Around? How many years ago did you sit down and start writing on the book?
I wrote the book a long time ago. I'm embarrassed to say that book, I wrote it like 13 years ago. I'm going to admit it. Because I wrote the book, and then what happened was I felt like, oh, no, I wrote this book. I finished the book, and I'm like, oh, well, I was so intimidated by, like, trying to get it published that I kind of was like, oh, I'm not going to worry about it. And then I went to this, you know, write a novel in a month event, and I met this girl there, and we were like, we want to write a book. I said, do you want to talk about our book? So, I said, I'm going to show you my book. And she said, you wrote a book, and you never published it. What is wrong with you? And I said, oh. And so she actually went through the book and was like, what are you kidding me? You better publish this book. And so we went through it, and she helped me go through it again. And then I published it, and that's what happened. Because you have to really have a lot of faith. Writing is very, like, you know, you're by yourself. And I just didn't feel, like, in a lot of ways confident to kind of – I could promote other people, but it was hard to do it for myself. So it took me a long time.
I think that's something a lot of writers struggle with. And then after a while, you know that if you don't do it, the sales aren't coming. So you have to get out there and do it. About What Goes Around Comes Around, Candace, did you have a personal experience that made you want to address reaping what you sow, or the topic What Goes Around Comes Around, maybe even as a way to help you heal from maybe a bad relationship? What inspired you actually to take on that topic in your book?
You know, I wrote it because I've always been very interested in relationships. And, you know, a lot of times I wanted to write something that talked about how when something bad happens, if you're a good person and you're good to your core, good can still come out of your life. You know, a lot of times when people hear that saying, they think of it very as a negative connotation. But in my sense, I wanted to show it as a positive. Like, she had negative things happen to her. But you know what? God is still in control, and he got you. And you know what? He can make good out of everything, out of anything. And that's why I kind of want to write it.
Yes. I wanted to ask you, in real life, do you really believe that what goes around really comes around? Whether, like you said, it's from a positive, you do good, maybe bad things happen to you, but eventually you reap the good. The seed, good seeds you planted do come up and bear fruit. Or on the flip side, based on your experience, Candace, can we get away with doing dirt? You see it all the time in the news, not only from the sexual harassment for stuff people did decades ago, but and they did it for a long time and nobody ever heard a boo about it. But there's so many things that people think, I can't get away with it. Can we get away with doing dirt and not get caught if we're smart enough?
You know what?
And,
I think it all.
And on the other side, do you think that if we do good, even though bad things might be happening to us now, that good will eventually bear fruit?
Yeah, well, it says in Romans 8 that all things work for good for those who trust God. So if you are walking in faith, I believe that good things will happen, even if it doesn't appear on the surface. And we really don't get away with stuff. We don't, like, these people that are, the stuff is coming out, we don't know what happened in their lives that was a direct result of what they did. We just know that we found out publicly what happened. Because I don't believe you really get away with doing stuff like that. My grandmother used to say, you know, say that all the time. You know, you cannot just treat people. You have to be careful how you treat and handle people, because eventually that will catch up with you. You know, and try to be the best person you can be.
Yes. Yep. Eventually it will. Tell us about Miss Nicole Gonzalez. What is she like?
Nicole has a little bit of an anger problem, and she has a little bit of self-confidence problem, and she lets these things stop her from really following her dream. Her dream is to sing, and she wants to sing gospel music, and she wants to present that gift to the world, but she has let a bad marriage and her lack of self-esteem stop her from really taking it where she wants to go. And then when we meet her, she's at a crossroads. Things are not going well in this marriage. Job is looking iffy, and she's got to decide, what am I going to do with my life? And so she said, I'm going to just pursue my dream. And then when in the process of pursuing dream, you know, when she puts herself out there and she surrenders herself to God and she opens herself up, good things start to happen to her. And sometimes that's like a mirror of life. It's when we just surrender it and we just have faith and we just let things happen, then things good things happen to us. We can't control everything.
Mm-mm. No. I'm glad you said that. If we, I don't think we control anything, but we can have the illusion that we do. But, yeah, well, okay. So Miss Nicola Gonzalez, she struggles with self-esteem issues. So she wants to be a singer, but, I don't know if I can do it. And so something happens in her life through her job, and she says, you know what, I'm going for it.
Yeah,
now,
I'm going for it.
Why does she feel pressured? Good for her. Why does she feel pressured at the start of the book? And how long has she been married?
She's been married over 10 years. So she's been 10 years with this man.
Oh.
And he is not doing the right thing. He's like a little bit, he's a womanizer. When we meet her, like she's like telling him to get out. You know, it's dissolving this marriage. She brings this woman there. There's a big confrontation. You know, like he's not really respecting her. And, you know, she tried to she tried to mirror the marriage that her parents had, but, you know, her father and this man were not the same, and she kind of rushed into this marriage young, not really seeing what a lot of people do. They rush into relationships, and they don't see what's there. They see what they want to see. They project, and it's not working out, and she tried to hold on to it, and when God said it's over, it is over. And, you know, that's where we got her. You know, it's done. He told you it's done. And you're not going to hold on. You can hold on, but when he says it's over, it's over. And, you know, she's just very sad about it. We meet her, and she's very sad. And, you know, and then she, you know, but she's always been a good person. She mentors a young person. And this lady is like, you've done so much good for me. You're a good woman. You know, just move on out of the mouth of babes, right? Move on. What? Get over it, is what to say. Do what you're supposed to do. You've been telling me what to do. Now I'm telling you what to do. Get off and get going. And that's how we kind of meet her, and then we see how she kind of evolves into what she really
was
supposed to be
all
along.
Do you tell the reader or show the reader through the book, so she's coming to like a crossroads.
Mm-hmm.
She's coming to an intersection of life. She got to make a choice. Do you show the reader any of this is what her life was like prior to her reaching this crossroads, or they just come in at the crossroads and you take it from there?
They come in at the crossroads, but they see hints of her life. Like they know she lives in a nice area and she had nice things, but it was all like an illusion because she did not see the whole picture of what was going on. So she kind of said, I'll be the goody-goody wife, and I'll do this, and I'll have the nice house, and I'll work and support my husband. But, you know, it was just an illusion. And then we see her when the illusion breaks. And, like, so everything, like, she kind of, you see in retrospect that it really wasn't what she thought. It's just that what she just was trying to say. You know how sometimes people put on glasses, they only want to see what they want to see, and not what's there.
Yeah. Wow. Who are the two men? Nicole sounds very interesting, and I'm rooting for her. Who are the two men who enter her life?
She's trying to
find a path that works for her.
Well, she meets one of the guys she meets is like an old flame. Like she knew him, and he was like the guy that got away. So like she meets the guy, and she's like, oh, I met this guy, and like he always liked her, but she never really gave him the time of day. You know what I mean? You know, like he was like a nice friend and whatever, and she kind of like let him go. And then she meets a musician because she's into music, and so then he kind of feels a different need in her life too. He kind of brings the excitement back. And we don't really know what happens until who she really ends up with until like toward the end of the story, because she's still trying to figure out.
And don't tell us. And don't tell us.
You know,
oh my gosh.
What's going on with the two, you know what I mean? Because that's what happens. A lot of times people say, when you kind of surrender, like, you know, you say you want to find something, you don't know how, I'm just going to just let God lead. He brings people into our lives. When we try to control stuff, that's when things get all crazy. Like, he laughs at us and says, what? I'm in control. Let me handle it. So she sees these guys, and she's like, okay, well, I'm trying to get my thing going, and if they're going to help me or support me, that's great. And she doesn't put too much into them. It kind of evolves organically, and I think those are kind of really the best relationships to have when things evolve organically. You know.
Now, is she still married when these two guys come into her life?
Yeah, she's still married, and she's going through the divorce. Like, they're separating, so this is a process of the divorce. Like, he's already moved out of the house, and, you know, she's getting ready. She's going to lawyers, trying to sign papers and stuff. That's when she meets these men. So she's not really trying to rush into stuff, but she needs friendship. She needs support. And that's why I'm going to write a sequel to it because I couldn't put everything in one book, but I wanted to show that, you know, when you look for a relationship, you need someone that's going to be a support to you. It's not just the physical, he's cute, he's got a big butt or whatever. It's, is he a support to her? And that's what she needs right now. You know, you're laughing at me, but I've started a relationship column on my blog where I write about relationships.
But yes, we do. I just want somebody to hang out with it. And then you're right. You want somebody who's actually going to care about you and be there for you. You're starting the book with a lot of tension, which is good. It makes the reader say, I want to really find out more what's happening to Nicole, because a divorce is one of life's most challenging experiences. It is tough. Whether you want it or don't want it, it's tough. Going through a divorce, so she's going through that. Then these two mm-hmm. guys come back into her life. She's mm-hmm. trying to find her path. She just left a job, and she's now going after her dream. She's got a lot going on in her life. Now, she operates in the entertainment industry, and this is a place, we were talking earlier about technology and digital publishing, but entertainment industry, it's constant change.
Mm-hmm.
Why is she scared about what might, stressing the word might, why is Nicole scared about what might be coming? Has she had so much success that she's now fearing that she might have to, her record sales might start lagging? Why is she scared about what might be coming?
Well, she always took the safe route. Like, she wanted to do the singing thing. She got with this husband. She kind of put that on hold, help him. And she always had a dream to write songs and sing and, you know, get into entertainment. But, you know, it's kind of changed. She's a little older now, and it's a confidence thing to really feel like you have to be, you listen to American Idol, and some of these people, like, why do they even get up there? Don't they hear how they sound?
Yeah.
But it is a confidence thing. You have to be confident in what you do, and she kind of lacks that. And she's let life experiences kind of beat her down a little bit and not really go for it. So that's why she's kind of hung back. She's afraid of performing. She has this fear, like, and her father's not here. Her father was her biggest fan, and he died when she was a teenager. So that kind of really, you know, he was her support. She probably never would have married this man if he had been alive, but, you know, she's looking for this daddy image. We gotta be the whole person before we get into a relationship. People think the man completes you. No, you complete you. You are happy, and then you meet somebody. When you start making this man have to do all this work, it doesn't work out. And you end up dealing with someone that's not good for you. And that's what happens. She's not
wow.
complete person when she meets the husband. And that happens to a lot of women. We do that. Not good.
So how old are Nicole and Ricardo when they first get married? She's been married 10 years, the start of the
Nicole
book. How old were they when they first?
Nicole was like 20, 21, she got married. She got married really young, and he was like older. So she got married young. You know, this man kind of knocked her off her feet. He was good looking. He was, you know, he reminded her like maybe looking like the father. And then as you get older, who you marry at 20 is not who you're going to marry at 30. You know, that's not the same person who you're going to marry as you get older. And so it's sometimes we get married for silly reasons. We get with people for silly reasons, and we don't go deep. We look at the surface. So we need to go deep.
She felt like it was right for her. You said Nicole was supporting Ricardo. He's older than her. Why is she supporting him when their marriage is starting to collapse?
Well, she is supporting his dream. Like, she, you know, kind of put things on the back burner to support his dream. Like, he was doing this business. He has his own business. And she was supporting that. Like, she didn't want to – she wanted to be the dutiful wife and do all the things that to make him happy. And, you know, it really – he really wasn't what she thought. You know, she thought he was more of a family man, more than, you know, whatever. And he was just not – he wanted a younger woman because he wanted to kind of control her a little bit. You know what I mean? So that's why he took someone so young, and she really wasn't. You know how a lot of times you see these women and they're like, oh, they fall in love with the idea of being married. They have this thing with their families. Their parents had this great marriage, and then when they get into it, it's not what they.
You know what is interesting? That's another topic. When you're promoting. What goes around comes around. That's another topic, not only going after your dreams, a promotion topic for your book, but also, not that all people do this, but a lot of older men do marry younger women, and I never really focused on that until you said it. Maybe he wanted to control her. He's thinking she's going to look up to him. She's going to think he knows so much more than her. And wow, but when you said that, I was like, I went, whoa.
Yeah, that's what happened. And then he starts really showing, like, it becomes very obvious that he's not faithful. He's not doing what he's supposed to do, and she can't hold it together anymore. Because a lot of times when this happens to women, we get embarrassed. And we're like, oh, we'll just pretend. But people can see the cracks in your armor. And sometimes the cracks get bigger and bigger. And they're seeing it, and you're trying to hide it, and you're not fooling anybody because they know. People who love you and know you know that this is not whatever. And then it becomes obvious that he's not even coming home. So you know, then what? You know, she can't hide it anymore. So now everybody knows, and it's just we have to be humble. And it's hard to be humble, you know, when things go wrong and say, you know what, I made a mistake. I need help.
Wow,
Lord, I need you to help me.
You know, I'm so glad I interviewed you, and I encourage you to continue to do interviews about your book because you have so much, the book dealing with so many real-life events, even though it's a novel, that maybe somebody reading What Goes Around Comes Around, they could see that in a relationship before they get married. And thanks to what you show with Nicole and Ricardo, they might say, you know what, I'm backing out. And it could help somebody in real life. Even though it's a novel. Now, what type of friend is Lisa? What's she like?
Lisa is a teenager. Lisa is a sassy, you know, one of these sassy big-mouth teenagers, thinks she knows everything, you know, grew up watching MTV and all this crazy stuff, but she doesn't have a good home life. So Nicole is the mother that she never really had. You know, she's like the nurturer. The nurture that Nicole wanted to do with her husband, she does with this young girl. And she started with the group, Big Sister, Little Sister, and then this girl, like, they just kind of stuck on, and she's always been, like, a mentor, supporter of her. So Nicole kind of, you know, sees Lisa as her younger self, you know, and is always kind of, like, her cheerleader and her support.
Okay. Now, you said you're going to write another, like, a sequel. Do you plan on turning What Goes Around, Comes Around into a book series?
I know I'm going to write at least one more book because I think with the way it ends is that we kind of see her, we see something start, but we don't know what's going to happen. So I want to kind of see her kind of start her career, start her relationships, you know, work through some other things that were in her life, you know, her daddy issues that she had. She's got to work through that and kind of reconcile with that. You know, her father was good to her, and he gave her a lot of good things, and she doesn't need to replicate him in her life because he's already given her the building blocks to be a strong, confident woman, and she needs to remember who she comes from, remember what he was to her, and not try to recreate him again. You know what I mean? He's gone now, but he left her with a legacy, and that she can grow on that and not be afraid to step out on that, and that's what we're going to see in the next one.
You are one bright sister. I'm listening to you talk and the gold nuggets, and I'm hoping our listeners will, some people are going to listen just to learn more about your book and hopefully go out and get a copy of What Goes Around, Comes Around by Candace Waller. But others may not only get the book, but some things you share may help them in their own personal experience, especially if they're at a crossroads or have a major decision to make. Now, there's some Spanish in the book. What goes around comes around. We're talking about for our off-the-shelf listeners who might just tuned in a little late, but you can go back when a show finishes streaming and listen to it in its entirety in the archives. But there's some Spanish in the book. Are there plans to translate the entire novel into Spanish?
That may happen. I mean, she's Puerto Rican and she's black. And her father was, you know, he was Puerto Rican. And so she grew up with, you know, the Spanish music and the, you know, the Spanish heritage. In the second book, you're going to see more of that. And, you know, so that's definitely a part of her. So I don't know about translating it. I'm going to just stick with the English version right now, and we'll see how that happens. If there's demand for it, yes, definitely. You know, I wrote the screenplay for it as well. So,
So how soon after? First of all, first question I wanted to ask you, does Nicole have any siblings, and what's her relationship like with her mother? We know her father passed. She was very close to him. He was like her icon. What's her relationship with her mother like, and does she have any other siblings?
She does have a sister named Valerie, and her and Valerie, you know, kind of bicker like sisters do. They love each other, but they fight sometimes. You see that in there, their little disagreements and little – and the mother is very supportive, and the mother is very you know, but she was closer to her father. You know, some kids are, like, closer to one parent than the other. But the mother was always kind of there, and I think when the – because the father has gone and passed away, like, she's kind of more gravitated to her mother, too. But she definitely was a daddy's girl. You know, she really loved her father, and, you know, he was always there for her.
How long did it take you to write? You started on it, you said, 13 years ago. How long did it take you to actually finish What Goes Around Comes Around?
It took me about a year to write it.
Okay.
It took me a year to write it, but then I just kind of put it on the shelf.
And then how much longer after you took a year to write it, how much longer after that did you start writing on the screenplay?
I took a class, and it was like maybe a couple years later, I would say, maybe 3 or 4 years later, I took a class. I was always taking writing classes, and they said, you know, you were doing a screenplay. And I said, well, can I write a screenplay based on a book? And they're like, no. But I said, what about if it's on my own book? He said, okay, but your own book, yes. So then I started writing. It was part of a class project. That's how I wrote the screenplay. Private class project.
Man, your life just seems like it just fits. How you got started with Black Enterprise, for our off-the-shelf listeners, tune in, they might like, this Candace Waller is one in the right place, sister. Black Enterprise, an editor who went to the same college you did, boom, you get in the door through there, and then writing What Goes Around Comes Around, how that got launched, and then you taking a college course, and let me write a screenplay on my novel, and who knows where that will go, because the topic of What Goes Around Comes Around is in the entertainment industry. Do you have plans to either take it with – I know a screenplay and a stage play are different, but do you have plans to either take it on your own to a local theater and take it live stage, or to actually really push and see if you could turn it into either a TV movie or a major motion film? Are there any thoughts or plans in the works for that?
I haven't tried to – I mean, I wrote the screenplay. I haven't tried to push it that way. I'm open to it. I'm doing the promoting and working on my other writing projects right now, but I'm open to it. I have not tried to do a stage play because that – you're right, that's totally different. That might be interesting to try to do a stage play based on this because of all the, you know, the dramatics. It probably might go that way. I don't know.
Where did you find What Goes Around Comes Around? Where did you find the illustrator for your novel?
Actually, a friend of mine knew this man, and his name was Ryan Henry, and he was an illustrator. So I said, you know, I told him kind of what I wanted, and we worked together to put this. Like I tell people, you have to network. Who do you know? And ask people who does writing, who does this, who does editing. You know, like you said, networking is really, really important, and that's how I found him, through a network. And I asked around. That's what you've got to do. You have to open the Bible says we have not because we ask not. We have to open up our mouth and articulate what we want, and then it happens. Once you say you want something, you write down your goals, you meditate on them, then things start to happen. So you have to take the first step by saying what you want and everything, and that's how things start to come to you.
You know, I can tell you, our listeners, you do exactly that. And I do admire that about you and your character and what goes around comes around Nicole. She struggles with self-esteem issues. And some writers do. Some writers don't want to go to book signings. They don't want to be on the radio. They don't want to do a television interview. They want to just do their work and hopefully the book sells on its own because they don't feel comfortable speaking in front of other people. But we're at a time when you almost have to do that. Publishers just aren't, they just aren't putting the money behind books like that to push them that way anymore. Even major authors, they do big city tours, maybe not as much as they used to, but they have to get out there and do all those book signings. So that's a very good thing that you share. Now, we have about 10 minutes left in today's show. I wanted to talk about a little bit more about book marketing for our off-the-shelf listeners who want to either get started as a writer or find more ways to connect with readers. Now, you also blog, Candace. How has blogging helped to introduce your works and your books to new readers?
Well, with blogging, you can post. You create your Facebook page, your author page on Facebook, your Twitter. What it do is when I post different articles, I blog about it, and then I put it on all my social media, and that brings people to my site. So people are interested. Some people want me to help them do publicity. They contact me, or if they need, you know, they want writing help, they contact me. So it's really important to have a regular way you're sending information to readers. You know, and I, like I told you, I do the love article. I've done that. That's very interesting. People have interesting comments on how I write about relationships and, you know, be on self-publishing and marketing. So I think it's important for people to, you don't have to be on every social media, but pick a couple and do it regularly. Regularly blog, maybe twice a week, regularly post on Facebook. And these are little things that don't take a lot of time, but it helps you build up your audience.
You know what, you made a good point when you said about blogging. You said maybe twice a week. I will say this about blogging. I have two blogs, and one I don't do as much as I used to. And I can tell you just from looking at the analytics behind the scenes, when I would publish at least once a week, and if I did it two or three times a week, man, my numbers of readers and visitors went way up. And then when I would start doing it like once a month, they dropped off significantly. So if you're going to blog, I do highly recommend people start to same thing with YouTube. People, they expect it to come out a certain amount of time. You start putting out maybe once a week and then once every 3 months, and pretty soon you're not going to have nobody tuning in or visiting your blog. So stick to a schedule, and it takes a lot of discipline because you have so many other things to do. Mm-hmm. And then you will see your readers. I tell you, if you publish like two blogs a week, and the themes are similar, and you're using the right keywords, you're gonna see your visitors go up. If you drop that off, you're gonna see your visitors go down. Now let's talk book marketing a little bit more as we come wrapping up today's show, Candace. Can you share a few ways? Blogging is one, getting out and networking, but are there some other quick, easy ways for authors, particularly authors who might still be struggling with some self-esteem and they don't really want to get out there that much? What are some ways that they can, some actions they can take to have greater book signing and book selling success?
Well, so definitely do events, you know, do in-person events. And you know what? I partner with people. Like, I'm partnering with this author. Her name is Tanise Travers, and she wrote a book called Pray for Rain. And I'm partnering with people. If you have a lack of confidence, find another author or join author groups and then do an event together. So then the emphasis is not just on you. That's a way to overcome lack of confidence. And put it in your, and also put it in your paper. Put the articles, when you do events, put them in the paper. Share tips with people in the paper. Like, you know, this is what we learned at this author event. And that way, because newspapers are hungry for, they need content. And so you might be able to, you know, put information about marketing and stuff in the newspaper. And when you have your event. Also, try to partner with other bloggers. I mean, who do you know in your network? talk about who do you know. I have a friend that she does. Her name is Denise Murray, and she has a blog. And she needs content. So she said, I'll post your content on my blog because I need to, like you said, it's hard to commit to writing twice a week. But if someone is already writing, you may want to use their content or, you know, offer to write for someone else, and therefore you can start to bring up traffic. So those are kind of quick, easy ways that you can start doing that.
Yeah, and if you do go on the road to authors, here's a tip, another one. Don't sit down behind your desk. Try to stand up the whole time. Mm-hmm. If you have to sit, try to sit closer to the front of your table and hand out free excerpts, free bookmarks, things with make sure your website URL's on there or the website URL, maybe even if your book's for sale at Amazon or wherever it's for sale, cushcity.com. Put that on there as well as your URL and just give out freebies, freebies, freebies. And that way, even if you don't sell a lot of books, you got the word out about your book. And that is so worth it when you go to events. That's something that
and
I
also have a mailing list
over the years.
Have a mailing list too. People don't have a mailing list. Ask people for the – if you're giving out something free, say, will you sign for my mailing list? Because then you can – they've already given you permission. You can also send them stuff when you do radio interviews, when you are in a different event. You know, that's how you ask them for it. A lot of people don't even ask for that. Ask for their mailing list. And then thank them when they come
yes.
by your table. Oh, thank you for coming by my table. Or here, you get a sneak peek of my new book or whatever. People love that kind of stuff.
Yeah. What writing process do you follow for those who want to be a Candace Waller? They want to publish book in their hands like you have for yourself. Do you do outlines, character sketches? How do you go about creating? Like, how did you go about creating what goes around comes around? Did you follow an outline? Did you
yes,
do character
I believe
sketches?
In outlining.
How did you create the book?
Outlines are important. You don't have to outline the whole book. You can just outline 5 chapters at a time because that's overwhelming for people. Definitely do a character sketch because it helps you build the character and set limits of when you're going to write. I'm going to write for 2 hours a day, and I'm going to have at least a page a day. And people think that's not a lot, but in a year, if you do that, you're going to have a book. So, you know, if you consistently do it and you meet goals, like little goals that are attainable, you can do it. And also join writing groups if you can because they are a good way of encouraging you to write and critique and give you advice, you know, when you're feeling down, you know, someone can encourage you. So I suggest doing writing groups, setting deadline, you know, setting, you know, writing goals and doing character sketches and outlines whenever possible.
Okay. Where can off-the-shelf listeners get a copy of your books, Candace?
I'm on Amazon, so you can go to Amazon. If you go to my webpage, CandaceWaller.com, I have a link to the Amazon page for the book, so you can find my book on Amazon, print and also
Amazon.
E-book. Yep.
Okay,
yeah, you
I
have to be on Amazon.
It's in print
and e-book.
Okay, it's in print and e-book format. Mm-hmm. They can get a copy mm-hmm. of your book. Amazon.com, you guys. Do you have any upcoming speaking engagements or appearances you can share with Off the Shelf listeners?
Well, I am going to be doing an event. I'm trying to firm up in Paterson, New Jersey in June. I'm just getting the dates for that. I'm going to be in Fanwood and Westfield, New Jersey in November. So those aren't firmed up, but I will be putting them on my site when they are firmed up so people can find out. And I thank you so much. I'll be sending out the link to the interview to the people who are connected to me on Facebook on my author page as well. So if you want to hear it again, you know, I'm going to be doing that too.
Okay, now if you're on, you said Facebook, what other social media networks? I remember earlier we were talking book marketing. You said you don't have to be on them all. There's so many social networks. But where can people find you online on the social media sites?
If you go to Facebook.com/Candace Waller/author, I'm there. And that's, you know, that's kind of where I put a lot of my stuff. I also have a professional profile on LinkedIn, Candace Waller. If you look for me, I'm on the LinkedIn. And I'm also on Facebook. So probably Facebook is really where I'm
okay.
putting a lot of my energy. Mm-hmm. And so I'll be
Are
doing that.
Are you on
and
Twitter or Instagram, Ms. Candace?
Well, you know, when I'm on Instagram, it's more like personal stuff. It's not so much the book thing because,
okay.
you know, I like to put pictures of, like, I'm a natural hair girl, so I like to do the natural hair stuff on there. And so it's not
okay.
so much the book thing. It's just personal.
Okay. Okay. Okay, we have been, oh, my goodness, what a treat, what a treat, what a treat. Candace Waller, she was our special guest on this Saturday, April 21st. You'll get to listen to her in the archives. She's become a part of our off-the-shelf history. You know, we started over at Rainbow Soul, and then we came to Blog Talk Radio, and our audience is really growing. So we want to thank her. To be a part of our history, it's just an honor to have her a part of it. So Candace Waller, W-A-L-L-E-R, W-A-L-L, no K, W-A-L-L-E-R. And she is from New Jersey.
Yeah, I'm a Jersey girl.
She's written for Black Enterprise, and she's a blogger and journalist, and the title of her latest book, and she's working on a sequel, you guys, but I encourage you to go out and get a copy at Amazon.com, What Goes Around Comes Around by Candace, C-A-N-D-A-C-E, Waller, W-A-L-L-E-R. What Goes Around Comes Around. Her website, please visit her, CandaceWaller.com, C-A-N-D-A-C-E. W-A-L-L-E-R. You can send out tweets and your Facebook messages and letting everybody know to check out Candace Waller. We want to thank her for being here with us this morning. And remember that quote from Nikki Giovanni, I really don't think life is about the I could have been. Life is only about the I tried to do. I don't mind a failure, but I can imagine that I'd forgive myself if I didn't try. So if there's something you want to do like Nicole and Candace's book, What Goes Around Comes Around. She's dealing with some self-esteem issues, but I'm sure Nikki Giovanni would tell her to go for it, Nicole. And so I encourage you to do the same. Remember, bookmark, set it on your calendar every Saturday morning at 11 o'clock New York City time. You're going to catch Off the Shelf Radio because you don't want to miss out on these blessings. You just don't want to miss out. Whether you're a book lover or another creative, or you're a business owner and you want to look for some enlightenment, inspiration, and motivation and learn from how somebody else was able to get more exposure or launch their book, which you might be able to translate into a business product launch and be successful at it. You want to tune in to Off the Shelf Radio, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Saturday mornings. Remember, you guys, you are amazing. I don't care what happens to you and what you concept about yourself. The truth is you are amazing. You are phenomenal. You are incredible. Go out and create a fabulous day for yourself today. Thank you so much, Candace Waller. I'll shoot you an email. Bye for now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.